You can take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. You know, I don't understand everything. Nobody understands everything. And I know sometimes when, you know, we've had some people fall asleep, and not in this fellowship recently, but you know, when people fall asleep and they're not, you know, 90 years old or something, Still, I put your keys in your pocketbook. You know, people get shook. And there could be lots of reasons why it happens. First of all, you don't know what's in a person's heart. Nobody knows what's in a person's heart. So if they have fear or worry or doubt, you know, it's there, right? We don't know everything about genetics. So we don't know, you know, somebody could live to 55 and that could be far and above what their genetics actually have, you know, but they lived longer than maybe they should have or could have ordinarily. And then, you know, people are not always wise in how they take care of themselves, and we don't know how that affects them. You know, so there's a lot of things involved, but, you know, sometimes people think, how could God let this happen? Well, Stella read me something from somebody posted the other day online, and it talked about this person, and they were so mad at God, and how come you let this happen, and how come you let that happen? And so God said, well, I did this, and you know, your car didn't go because if it had gone when you wanted to go, you would have been hit by somebody else and killed. And if this happened, you would have done this. And they said, God, you know, takes care of you in every situation. And I said, okay, well, that's interesting, but that's not really the word, right? You know, God doesn't control everything in your life, does he? But when we pray to him and we look to him and we believe, he watches over us and protects us. But, you know, at times we're stupid and we're self-destructive. We do things we shouldn't do sometimes. Sometimes we forget to pray. You know, there's times where grace abounded in my life where God protected me and I didn't even know what was going on. And I say, you know, but does he control everything and everything is for his purpose and his good? Well, over the whole scope of history, yes. But in the short term and in our lives, he does his best for us, but we still have to believe him. So I can't explain it all, but I do know the promises of God. And that's, we're going to look at the promises of God a little bit today. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, Peter's written to born-again Jews, but there's much of it that is applicable and true of us, right? Because they were born again. The word great is the word megas, you know, mega, which we hear and use. And the word precious is honored or valued or prized. And the way Walter Cummins translates this verse is, by these things, the precious and greatest things promised have been given to us, so that through these things ye became partakers of the divine nature and have escaped from the corruption that is in the world with its cravings. Okay. Now, interesting here, the word exceeding is not in it, right? Because it's not in the Greek. I looked it up and there's no word for exceeding. But it's the greatest. It's the precious and greatest things promised to us. And so that's pretty cool. I want you to turn to 1 John. Because I was thinking about it and I think a lot. Doesn't always make sense what I think, but I was thinking a lot about that. This chapter 2 of 1 John, it says in verse 24, Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And you know, that's the greatest promise. Yeah. You know, the first thing that man lost was spirit. And when he lost spirit, death came upon him, right? Mm-hmm. Before Adam sinned, before he lost spirit, he could have lived forever. He would have never been sick or anything else. He lived in an ideal, perfect situation, a perfect environment. He didn't have to worry about water pollution and air pollution and whatever other kind of pollution there may be. I don't know. He didn't have to worry about genetically engineered food and animals and all this other stuff. And then so after Adam fell, what did God promise? He promised the coming Messiah. In Hebrews 11, it talks about all those guys believing God, but it says they believe God not having received the promise. Well, the greatest promise to them was the coming Messiah, the guy that was going to rescue them. But Jesus Christ has already come, and what did he make available first and foremost? Eternal life. So no matter what else happens in your life, no matter what else goes on, if you're born again, you have eternal life. And, you know, when you think of it in terms of we live, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90, if you're really blessed and you live 110 years, which is almost unheard of, although it's more heard of today, I guess, than it was 20 years ago, although it's not always a great existence at 110, you know. But what is that compared to eternal life? You know, it's a drop in the bucket. It's not even a drop in the bucket. It's a molecule in the bucket. You know, it's one atom, because forever is forever. Can't even describe it. So, you know, to me, the greatest promise is eternal life. But there are many great promises in the Word of God to us from God, aren't there? There's all kinds. We always talk about health and prosperity. We talk about God's hand of protection on us and his guidance and all the stuff he will do for us. But the greatest thing he did is he put his seed in us, and that seed is eternal spirit life. Let's go to Titus. Because, you know, once we got that seed in us, it's there. You can't lose it. You know, I could lose some other things, you know, if I don't believe God and I don't abundantly share, I might not prosper as much as the next guy. And if I'm stupid and I eat the wrong things and I don't take care of my body, or my genetics are such, and, you know, at some time or another, it's going to kick in. I'm going to get sickly, or I'm going to get old, or, you know, I'm going to wear out, right? I am. I don't care. If you're the greatest believer on the face of the earth, you do everything you're supposed to do. You never smoke. You never drank alcohol. You ate organic, perfect food. And you believed God from the time you could walk and believe, I don't know. You're still going to get old and get sick and die somehow or another. That's just the reality of life, isn't it? So Titus 1:1, it says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, or before the age or ages began, is what it really says. The world is the word eon or aeon, and it's ages. So, and that refers to the different administrations, okay? So God promised it before the ages, and it's the hope of eternal life. That's our expectant. That's our expectancy. That's what we look forward to more than anything, right? I mean, it's great to live on this earth and believe God and see God work and see miracles and the power of God, but nowhere near as great as what he has promised us in the future, which is eternal life, which, you know, if nothing else, we have that to be thankful for, and we should be thankful for it every day. And when you put things in perspective, you know, somebody prayed this morning about Christmas and put everything in perspective. And, you know, that's a cool thing. It's a fun time. It's a cool time to be with family. It's a time to eat food and, you know, whatever else you want to indulge yourself in, reasonably and legally. But, you know, it's not what the world presents, is it?
Right.
It's not what the religious world presents. It's not what the worldly world presents. It's, you know, and the world takes advantage of it. And they put out all these movies. If you watch Hallmark, you'll cry all night. These stupid Christmas movies. And then you'll see the funny ones, you know, and you'll see the, you know, the classic ones, you know, like the Christmas Carol, you know, Christmas Past, Present and Future. And it's kind of a dopey movie. And, you know, all this stuff. We watched one last night, the Christmas Chronicles or the Santa Claus Chronicles. I can't remember, with Kurt Russell. It was hilarious. He does a Santa Claus, you know, Kurt Russell, Santa Claus, and he does a blues number. Santa's back in town. It was weird. Okay. So anyway, let's go back to 1 Peter. So it's eternal life. God gave us eternal life. What a great promise. What a phenomenal promise. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Peter speaking, he says, and this, oh, that's 2 Peter. I'm in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. You know, you couldn't buy salvation, could you? You know, in the old days, they would do what? They would go to the temple. They would make sacrifices. They would, if they didn't have animals, they'd buy them with gold and silver. They'd have to do different things. You know, in the Middle Ages, what did the Catholic Church propose? That you could buy indulgences so you could get into heaven faster. You know, you might still have to spend, you know, 5,000 years in purgatory, but if you put out enough gold and enough silver, you might shorten your term a little bit and you'll be guaranteed to get into heaven. It was kind of dopey. Okay, because what does it say right here? You can't get in with gold and silver. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, he was promised and foreordained or foretold in Genesis 3:15, right? And he was manifested in these last times, meaning when he came to earth and lived his life and died, was resurrected, and went to heaven. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith or believing and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, when we were born the first time, we were born with corruptible seed. Corruptible seed, which means what? It doesn't last forever. If we read on, it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, and I was thinking about seed. How cool is seed? You know, seed really determines everything in the senses world. You know, the seed of a plant determines what? What kind of plant it is, how big it's going to be, how what kind of fruit it's going to produce. You know, and when it has a good seed, it produces good fruit. If it has a poopy seed, it produces poopy fruit or no fruit at all sometimes, right? And that happens because sometimes you don't get good seeds. You know, remember the fig tree that wasn't going to produce. So Jesus Christ said, well, no man eateth of thee hereafter. You know, seed determines everything. In mankind, it determines what color eyes we have, how big we are, you know, what color hair or how much hair, and thin and heavy and good athletes, bad athletes, you know, what kind of intelligence to a degree, all kinds of stuff, you know, and it all goes back to seed, right? It all goes back to the seed. So some of the stuff, you know, that you get, you say, well, that's my father's fault. You know, damn him. Johnny used to say to Stella, if I don't make 6 foot, I'm throwing you off a bridge. But seed just determines about everything, and everything we get inherently goes back to the seed, right? Now, to what degree does it affect our lives? You know, I don't know. I really... You know, some people are more prone to cataracts, right? My grandmother had cataracts. I don't even need glasses to drive yet. I mean, I need them to read, but I don't need them for anything else. I go to the eye doctor every other year, and she says, boy, your eyes are perfect for your age. That's great. But my grandmother on my other side of the family was deaf, and I don't hear worth a crap out of that ear. So, you know, I got good on one side and bad on the other. I don't know. It's just the way it is. Now, having said that, some of the things I did in my youth affected my ears. I remember my brother and I just were talking about this because I saw him a couple of weeks ago when I went to my brother-in-law's funeral. And we were talking about a time where we met and we drove up to my sister's for Thanksgiving. And then we drove back to New York to see an Allman Brothers concert at Carnegie Hall. And we sat like in the fourth row right in front of the speakers. And my ears rang for days. It was a great concert. Okay. Anyway, you know, and then, you know, shooting guns. And we didn't wear ear protection back then, you know, and playing with fireworks. My cousins and I always played with fireworks when we were kids. And, you know, so stupid things like that affect your hearing, right? Or so they say. So we don't know to the degree, you know, about our genetics. I mean, it affects it some degree. You know, it's, you know, they engineer a car and they engineer a car so that it's going to last a certain amount of time. Now, if you maintain that car, it'll last maybe a full amount. Maybe you get lucky, it might go a little longer, right? Some cars are engineered to last longer than others, aren't they? I forget what they say about Rolls Royces, but they're guaranteed for life as long as you own them and you don't break the seal on the engine and always take it to a Rolls Royce dealer. They'll fix anything for free, you know? And that car is engineered to last a long time. A Hyundai or a Kia or, you know, some of these other cars. Or, you know, remember Yugos? Yeah, that was a disposable car. They were good for about 2 years, 3 months, and 6 days. Chevy Vegas. They hit 50,000 miles, they shut down. You know? And I think the human body's like that. You know, we have a certain potential in our bodies, whatever it is, and who the hell knows? I guess they're learning more about it, but they still don't know very much compared to what can be known. You know, they say, well, you may have this gene and you may possibly have a tendency to get this or a tendency to get that. But there's no guarantee. You know, there's people that smoke till they're 90 years old, never get lung cancer. Some people never smoke and they get lung cancer, right? Some people worked in factories where they did, what's the meth?
Asbestos,
and never got anything. And other guys were around there for 2 weeks and they got sick. You know, there's no way of knowing some of this stuff, you see? So it all goes back to seed. But you know what? So we were born of corruptible seed, We're stuck with it. But then we get an incorruptible seed. See? An incorruptible seed. That's God's seed. Well, what does that determine? Well, it says right here, where was it? In verse, wherever it says, we have the divine nature. No. Yeah. I don't know if it says it right in this section, but it says we're partakers of the divine nature. Right? That's our seed. Well, you know, when you get your seed from your mom and dad, your fleshly, you get stuff from them, right? Well, when we get born again of God's seed, we get stuff from him. Woohoo! How cool is that? Our spiritual seed is incorruptible. It doesn't go bad. So you can't ruin your eternal life. You know, I could screw up my life. I could have pretty good genes, but then I could do all kinds of horrible things and shorten my life. Obviously. You know, I could smoke and eat horrible fried foods all the time and fat and, you know, whatever else. Who knows what's right and what's wrong? But, you know, whatever they say. My Uncle Sid, who I was named after, one time he wrote a letter to the local newspaper, and he was born in like 1920, or he was 4 or 5 years younger than my mother, maybe 1921, 22. So he grew up in an age, you know, he said, you know, I'm seven. He wrote it when he was 76. He said, I grew up and I sat on my daddy's lap, and he was a chain smoker. He smoked Camel shorties, and I breathed in the secondhand smoke all the time. He said, I rode in the back of an old car. There were no seat belts, and there were certainly no car seats. He said, I rode with my dad all the time. He said, I was in a playpen, or not a playpen, but a crib where you could probably stick your head through, you know, and I never got stuck. He said, I never choked on anything. And he went through this whole litany of stuff. He said, but he said, I've been smoking since I was 20, smoking cigars. He smoked cheap cigars. And well, he did. He smoked, you know, like Havatampa and Dutch Masters and Muriels and that kind of stuff. And, you know, and he said, I'm 76. And he talked about my grandmother's cooking southern fried chicken every other day and cooked everything in lard. You know, she cooked all her vegetables in lard and fatback. She'd boil it and throw a lump of fatback, which tasted delicious. It was unbelievable. Okay. So, and Uncle Sid lived to be 81, I think, 82, something like that. And my Uncle Pete lived to be 84. And my aunts lived into their 80s. And okay. So, but we have an incorruptible seed. And we get that, what we inherit from God, right? We get it from God. God has given us eternal life. And he's given proof of that life by putting that spirit within us. We have that token. We have the proof, and he's given us details concerning that life that we have something to look forward to. So let's go back to 1 John. It's kind of interesting. I started working on this teaching and pretty much had it set before I heard anything about Jonathan Carter. And I just, you know. Anyway. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, we are sons of God already, right? Yep. But it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we're going to get some new stuff, new equipment. But we know that when he shall appear, he, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, what was Jesus Christ like when he rose from the dead? He was pretty cool, wasn't he? He could eat, he could drink, he could be touched, and yet he could disappear. He could be transported over miles and distances, go through walls and doors. Wow. Cool stuff. Let's go to verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, as Jesus Christ is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, and when we're born again, God has, and Jesus Christ has, destroyed the works of the devil in our lives. He's taken away that condemnation. He's taken away that eternal death. Pretty cool. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's our inheritance. That's our spiritual inheritance. You know, before God, we don't really sin. You know, now we have that old man nature, you know, hanging around, and we may make mistakes. You know, we may miss the mark on occasion, but to God, we're perfect. To God, we're beautiful. To God, we're without blemish, right? It says that in Ephesians and other places in the epistles. We're holy and without blame before him. That's pretty good. We are the righteousness of God. Let's go to Genesis 1. Chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after what? His kind. You know, because he's got the seed and he yields it after his kind. An apple tree doesn't produce oranges, and an orange tree doesn't produce pears. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. You know, there's no confusion in nature concerning seed and what it produces. Amazing. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, which is soul life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle, and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And that's why you can't have evolution. Right? Because everything is after its kind. So monkeys don't become humans. And fish don't become mammals. And all that kind of stupid, crazy stuff that they try to teach people. And nobody's ever read Darwin. Anybody here ever read Darwin?
Some of it.
Just a little bit.
It's,
yeah. Most people don't read it at all. They just say, oh, yeah, Darwin. Nobody even knows what it says. Okay. It's very racist. Just saying. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And what's the image of God?
Spirit.
And let them have dominion over the fish sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And he goes on and says, but the principle of seed is the same, right? In plants, animals, and humans. Everything's after its kind. And then it's also true in spirit, after his kind, because he put an incorruptible seed within us. And God never goes against his own principles, his own laws. Pretty cool. We have God's seed, spirit, eternal life spirit, divine nature. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I am not saying, I want to be clear about this, I'm not saying that if you get sick, you just say, oh, well, and give in to it. You know, we pray, we believe God, because God can heal, and God wants us to be healthy. It's very simple. You know, but we are in this body that gets older. You know, and it gets a little tougher, and it slows down, and... But, you know, there are some people that live pretty old and stay really healthy. Well, just, I went to the movies last week and I saw Clint Eastwood's new movie. It's not a very good movie, but, nah, it's just mediocre. But it's based on a true story, and he plays the role of this guy who was a mule for drug dealers. And he plays a 90-year-old guy. Well, he's 90 years old. And it's amazing, you know, how good a shape he's in, and that he could direct and produce and star in a movie and he being 90 years old. And I don't know that he knows anything about God. You know, but so chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man, Adam, came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, when will we all be made alive? At the gathering, right? But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are his, they are Christ at his coming, right? At his coming. So everybody that's died that's believed in Christ is asleep, and when he comes back, they will rise from the dead and they'll be made alive. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And in between verse 23 and verse 24 is most of the book of Revelation. You know, that's where it fits in. You know, it's just this is the Cliff's Notes version here. Okay, let's go to verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's talking about seed, right? It's sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised the spiritual body. This is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. A life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. You can't be born again if you're not born the first time, right? The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Well, of course, because why? They have the corruptible seed. Right. Very simple. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Those that are born again are heavenly. Because we inherit that stuff because we have the spiritual seed. We have the divine nature. You know, when we are born the first time, we have the earthly nature. When we're born again, we have the divine nature. How cool. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You know, you look at your mom and your dad, or your grandfather and your grandmother's, you know, you have two sets, right? You kind of can see what is in store for you in the future, maybe, to some degree, right? It's true, you know. Good or bad. It's kind of interesting. Both my grandfathers died when they were in the 50s. But it wasn't because of DNA. It was because of my mother's father had rheumatic fever when he was a child, and then he had a heart attack. But he also smoked a pack of two packs of Camels a day. He also raised 10 kids and all kinds of stuff. My other grandfather, my father's father, was a painter. And back in the early days, you know, the late 1800s, early 20th century, and they mixed their own paints, and it was, you know, linseed oil and lead and all that stuff. And so, you know, he died in his 50s. He got, I don't know, stomach cancer or something. He probably ingested so much of that crap. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the way it is. See? So who knows what, if he had done something else or whatever, how long he would have lived. Who knows? See, but what, so we have these inheritances, but number one, as we go along, medical science gets better, so we have more understanding, we have more knowledge, you know. You know, back in the 1800s, the average life expectancy was 50 years or less, right? Because they didn't know to wash their hands. They say one of the reasons that Napoleon lost when he went into Russia, you know, they always say, well, the Russians retreated and they got caught in the Russian winter and all this stuff. That's true. But the other thing was they got sick. They didn't know anything about cleanliness. They didn't know how to wash their hands. They didn't know what to do. Okay. Back to the word. It's better than all the other stupid stuff. Verse 50, now this I say, brethren, flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a great thing. You know, what a great thing. Yeah. So the future is as bright as the promises of God. And the greatest promise is that we have eternal life. We get a new body. Woohoo! We need it. As great as your body might be, that new body is going to be better. He's given us the promises of how Christ has come back. And he's given us promises for this life, that we can go to God and we can ask for help. We can ask for healing. He can strengthen us. He can support us. He can protect us. He can watch over us. He can feed us. You know, he can do all that kind of stuff. Remember Israel, it says they walked through the desert. There was not one feeble foot among them. Said their shoes didn't even wear out, you know. Well, we're more important to God than Israel was. So we can believe those promises. But, you know, we're going to fall down sometimes. We're not all perfect in our believing. So what do? Well, we pick ourselves up. We look to God. We ask for help. We ask for people to pray for us. That's what we do. But the greatest promise we have is eternal life. Can't beat it. You know, what does it say in Romans? It says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. What a great promise, eternal life. And understanding that seed, you know. Yeah, you know, you got some great stuff in your inheritance and your body, and you got some dopey stuff, right? Stuff that you'd rather not have. We don't have perfect genes. But what we do have is we have perfect spiritual genes. We have eternal life, and we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. That's pretty great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, amen and amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for taking care of us. We thank you for what a great and mighty God you are, and we just thank you for all you do for us and that you can give us understanding, and those people that are grieving, that you can comfort their hearts and help them through it and understand. But, you know, if we look to those promises of the future, we can hold fast to your word. Just like it says, you know, God says we keep this in mind and then we are to stand fast upon your word. That's what it says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. We are to stand fast and just hold to your word, because we have that great promise of eternal life. We have those great promises of all that you intend to do for us in the future and how we are precious in your sight. So we just thank you for that, and we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.